Thank you, Oleg, for nice introduction. And I'd like also thank to the organizers for giving me an opportunity to talk here about our recent study on frustrated antimatter magnets. And today I'm going to talk about spin-ons in spatially anisotropic frustrated antimatter magnets. And this work has been done in collaboration with Leon Valente in UCSB and Oleg Stary in the University of Utah. And as an the outline of this talk as follows. As an introduction, I will briefly review elemental excitations in antimatter magnets and recent experimental indications of two-dimensional spin leakages. Then I will show the model we have investigated, that's a spatially anisotropic frustrated antimatter magnet Heisenberg model, and we apply a weak coupling approach with respect to interchain interactions. And I will show the result, and the main result is the momentum-dependent spectral features, and we also found a bound state of spin-ons. And finally, I'd like to compare our result with experimental data observed in cesium copper chloride. Okay. As you know, there are two kinds of elemental excitations in antimatter magnets. One is magnon, the other is a spin-on. And magnon can be understood in this schematic picture. From the order background, one number spin is flipped, and the flipped spin propagates in the system. So this particle carries spin one, and the ground state has to be ordered. And this magnon can also be identified as a Goldstone mode, originated from SU2 symmetry breaking in the Heisenberg models. And the dynamical structure factor has a sharp delta function peak with essentially negligible tail. And this magnon is typically observed in unfrustrated antimatter magnets in dimensions higher than one. And on the other hand, spin-on can be understood from this schematic picture, namely from the almost ordered background, one number of spins is flipped, and the domain wall propagates in the system. And this domain wall is called spin-on, and it carries spin 1/2. And this feature is usually referred to fractionalization. And the ground state is a spin singlet state without antimatter magnet long range order. And the dynamical structure factor behaves like this. And it has a large tail with in the wide range of energies. And it diverges in a parallel toward the lower edge of the continuum. And this spin-on is observed in antimatter magnets. And what many people are interested in is whether disordered ground state or non-magnon excitation can be realized in highly frustrated antimatter magnets in dimension higher than one. And theoretically, such an exotic behavior has been discussed in the context of RBB, RBB state, or recently deconfinement criticality. And the cold atoms may be regarded as one of possible platforms to realize such an exotic behaviors. Recently, experimental indications of two-dimensional spin leakages have been observed in some compounds. For example, the organic compound kappa bet TTF, which has a triangular structure and shows no signature of long range order down to very low temperatures, actually 32 millikelvin. And this is a plot of the uniform susceptibility in this compound. And there's no indication of long range order in a wide range of energies, wide range of temperatures. And this energy scale is much smaller than J. J is about 250 Kelvin. So from this data, experimental results suggest that the ground state of this compound is essentially disordered. And a similar behavior is observed in the solid helium-3 inner layer and zinc copper hydroxide chloride, which has a Kakumelate structure. Another interesting observation was made for cesium copper chloride. This compound has a triangular lattice with spatial anisotropy. And what is observed in this compound is dynamical properties, which is difficult to explain from the simple magnon picture. In this talk, we mainly consider such non-magnetic excitations. Okay. And most interesting observed in cesium copper chloride is a large tail of dynamical structure factor, SK omega, in a wide range of energies. This feature is similar to spinons, but it's difficult to explain from a simple magnon picture. The typical behavior of the magnon is shown like this. There is a sharp delta function peak with negligible small tail. And this behavior is quite different from the magnons. And inspired by this work, many theoretical proposals for two-dimensional spinons have been made. And some theories predict that in the two-dimensional spin naked state, dynamical structure factor diverges in parallel, and the eta depends on model. And the experimental data is fitted in this form, and experimentally, the eta is estimated at 0.74. And this exponent is different from the Heisenberg chain. Okay.
Doesn't depend on temperature.
This is essentially the zero temperature.
I mean, the exponent.
Zero temperature.
This is essentially this expression is.
The result is for zero temperature.
Zero temperature.
Okay, it's zero temperature.
Yeah, zero temperature. Yeah. Okay. And also in this compound, dispersion relation is obtained by inelastic neutral scattering experiment. And the solid symbols denote the main peak of dynamical structure factor, and this corresponds to the dispersion relation. And if this compound can be regarded as a one-dimensional system, then the dispersion relation has to be symmetric with respect to kx or pi. But obviously, there is an asymmetry. And this means that this compound has to be regarded as a two-dimensional system with spatial anisotropy. And this shape of the dispersion relation is explained by the linear spin wave theory. And actually, this solid line is obtained by this form. But to fit the experimental data, effective coupling constant has to be introduced, which is noted by J tilde here. And to fit the experimental data, J tilde is 0.61 electron volt, and J prime tilde is 0.107 electron volt. And these effective coupling constants are quite different from the bare coupling constant. And one might say that this is the effect of strong renormalization effect of quantum fluctuations. But anyway, although the shape can be explained by this form, but the spin wave theory cannot explain fully quantitative manner this dispersion relation.
How do we know the bare coupling constant? A bare
coupling constant is experimentally estimated.
From what?
In the high field experiment. In the high field limit, ground state is fully polarized. So essentially, we observe.
Looking at the
that's right.
It's the same type of experiment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So essentially, this is exactly experimentary. And what is puzzling is that in this compound, different types of line shapes were observed depending on the momentum. For example, this momentum, which is ky equals 2 pi, there is a sharp peak and a very high peak with very small tail. This is similar to the magnetic excitation. On the other hand, at this scan, this corresponds to ky equals 4 pi, and there is a broad continuum, and the peak is located within the continuum, and the peak height is much suppressed than this one, because this is 1.5 and this is 7, so this scale is about around here. The peak is quite suppressed at this momentum. So there are several unusual features observed in cesium copper chloride, and one is a large tail of SK omega, which might be explained by the two-dimensional spin-on picture. And another feature is a two-dimensional dispersion relation, and which might be explained by spin wave theory. And there are also strong momentum dependence of line shape. I don't know which theory is good for this, to explain this phenomena. And anyway, the interpretation of the experimental result depends on the aspects of the data. So interpretation of these features is still controversial. And our goal of the present study is to give a consistent explanation for these various features by a controlled approximation and basically without using fitting parameters. Anyway, motivated by this work, we consider a little bit more general spatially anisotropic spin 1/2 antiferromagnetic Heisenberg model. The Hamiltonian is defined with this form, and the coupling constant within the chain is denoted by J, and the interchain couplings are denoted by J primes. And we assume that J prime is smaller than J, because we consider spatially anisotropic triangular frustrated lattice, and the spin at each side is spin 1/2. And we consider highly frustrated antiferromagnetic magnets, which satisfy J1 prime equals to J2 prime plus J3 prime. By this choice of parameters, the static field acting, for example, this side is zero, because if this is up, down, up, then if this relation is satisfied, the mean field cancels. So this is highly frustrated systems. And this class of antiferromagnetic magnets include spatially anisotropic triangular lattice by taking J1 prime equals J2 prime and J3 prime equals zero. These are the same. And this is included here. J3 equals zero, then this is satisfied. And this model corresponds to the cesium copper chloride.
For the cesium copper chloride, maybe I missed it. Does it order?
In the ground state, it is ordered.
In what pattern?
The wave vector is a little bit shifted from the in a spiral manner, but
spiral order.
Yeah. But the TN is very small, and we consider the energy regime much higher than the ordering temperature. And this class of antiferromagnetic magnets also include a spatial anisotropic J1, J2 model, but with critical coupling ratio. By taking J2 prime equals J3 prime equals half of J1 prime. And this condition is satisfied. And we're going to apply a weak coupling theory with respect to interchain couplings. So as a first step, let us consider the case where J prime equals zero. And in this limit, the system is decomposed into decoupled Heisenberg chains. And as you know, the spin 1/2 Heisenberg chain is exactly solved by the Bethe ansatz. And the ground state is known as a single ground state, and the energy is given minus log 2. And triplet states can also be obtained by the Bethe ansatz, and they can be characterized by the number of spinons, 2 spinon state, 4 spinon state, and so on. And for example, and the 2 spinon states can be specified by 2 quasi momenta correspond to 2 spinons, kx1 and kx2. And alternatively, we can specify the 2 spinon state by the total momentum kx, which is the sum of kx1 plus kx2, and excitation energy, which is given as by the relative momentum between 2 spinons. And this is the spectrum of the 2 spinon states. And this broad band is due to the relative momentum between spinons. And this is the exact result for one-dimensional chain. And let us consider the eigenstate of the two-dimensional system. And at J prime equals zero, the ground state is simply given as a direct product of a single ground state of the chain. And the triplet eigenstate is obtained by replacing one of the single ground state by a triplet eigenstate of the chain. And we take two spinon state as a triplet eigenstate because the main part of dynamical structure factor comes from this two spinon state. And the two spinon state can be specified by the total momentum and excitation energy within the chain. Okay. And in the small J prime regime, we restrict our Hilbert space to that spanned by these bases. And in these bases, two spinons have to sit on the same chain. And if one spinon hops to another chain, which has to be accompanied by the other spinon, and they have to hop together in these spaces. And the states with momentum kx and ky is generally expressed as a linear combination of these states within this restricted Hilbert space. And this is the density of the state of the Heisenberg chain. And this is the coefficients of the linear combination. And this is the Fourier transform of this state. Okay? And this state has the momentum kx and ky. In these spaces, the intra-chain interactions are already diagonalized because we use exact eigenstates of Heisenberg chains. So let us consider the inter-chain interaction. The inter-chain interaction consists of the exchange interaction between neighboring chain. So taking the extension value, most of the matrix elements are one, except y and y plus one chain. The matrix element is that of the spin operator by the single ground state and the triplet eigenstate within the chain. And so this quantity has no y dependence. So we can evaluate this quantity within the chain. So the exception value is given as a Fourier component of the interchain coupling constant multiplied by the double integral of epsilon. And this is the density of state of the Heisenberg chain. And this is the coefficient of the linear combination. And this A is the one-dimensional quantity. Okay? And it should be noted that although the J primes are always positive, but J prime K can negative values or positive values or zero, depending on the momentum. And by discretizing the omega space by a finite number of data points, we can obtain the effective Hamiltonian in the restricted Hilbert space in matrix form. And this matrix has a diagonal element, which is simply given as a excitation energy of the triplet state within the chain. And this is the ground state energy. This is constant. And this term corresponds to the hopping process of spin-on pairs. And this M is the number of data points in the omega space. And this is nothing but the dimension of the matrix. And we take N as several thousand for numerical calculations. And these A are the one-dimensional quantity, and J prime K is a Fourier component of the interchain couplings. And it should be noted that Y dependence only appears in the J prime K. And if this is zero, and this is a diagonal matrix, so the physical properties are exactly the same as a Heisenberg chain. Okay? And this effective Hamiltonian includes only up to first order in J prime, but diagonalizing this Hamiltonian, we take into account some higher order of J primes. And in principle, we can calculate eigenstate and energies in the two-dimensional system by diagonalizing this Hamiltonian within the restricted Hilbert space. And using that eigenstate and the eigenenergies, we can evaluate dynamical structure factor. Actually, the transition rate from the ground state to a triplet state is expressly written down in terms of known quantities. This is the eigenvector of the matrix. This is one-dimensional quantities. And this is a Fourier component of interchain couplings. And the non-trivial quantity is A. But the A can be calculated exactly obtained by the Bethe-Andertz method for finite chains and by algebraic analysis based on infinite dimension symmetric quantum group for infinite chains. The analytical expression is given here. A is given as the square root of the transition rate, and transition rate is expressed as the integral. And this parameter T includes the epsilon dependence and the kx dependence through omega L and omega L. Although the expression is somewhat complicated, but we can calculate this quantity numerically. Okay. Alternatively, we can derive effective Schrödinger equation, and which is given in this form. And this corresponds to the Hopping process of spin-on pairs. And this integral equation can be solved analytically, and sq omega is given in this form. And this J prime K is a Fourier component of the interchain coupling. And S1D denotes the dynamical structure factor of the chain, and which is exactly known. And the chi prime 1D is defined by this equation. And this form is very similar to RPA. Actually, by replacing chi prime by real part of chi, this reduces to the RPA result. What is different is the integration domain. The real part of chi is from minus infinity, and this is from zero. But the numerical result is almost the same for the relevant parameter regime for cesium copper chloride. Anyway, applying this restricted Hilbert space approximation, we can investigate the spatial anisotropic two-dimensional systems. And we have investigated various types of frustrated antiphere magnets, and we have found three types of distinctive features depending on the momentum, and which can be classified by the sign of J prime K. At J prime K zero, the matrix of the effective Hamiltonian reduces the diagonal matrix, so the physical properties are exactly the same as a Heisenberg chain. So at this
J prime of KXKY does not depend on the energy.
Does not depend on
the third variable, which is the energy, and that doesn't depend.
Doesn't depend. Yeah, this is just a Fourier.
So for all, if it's true for one energy, it's true for all energies.
Yeah, all energy. Yeah. And
and your Hamiltonian doesn't have any processes that change the number of spin-ons. It's always you just have two spin-ons.
And
they move.
Yeah, move.
But the spin-on creation and annihilation processes are higher order.
Yeah, higher order effects. So we neglect them.
Out.
Yeah. Okay. And at this momentum, as you know, the one-dimension dynamical structure factor behaves in this form, and it has a large tail in the wide range of energies, and it diverges in the power law, and which is given this form. And when J prime K is negative, we found a sharp delta function peak below the continuum. And this sharp peak is separated from the continuum by finite energy gap, and this sharp peak can be identified as a bound state of spinons. And the physical picture is very similar to magnon because two spinons bind strongly together and they move coherently like a spin one particle. But this bound state does not require ordered ground state, but on the contrary, the magnon does by definition. And we expect that this sharp peak will be continuously connected to magnon as the ground state changes into ordered state. On the other hand, when J prime K is positive, the spectral weight shifts upwards, and the peak is broadened in the continuum. Okay, a typical behavior is shown here. And also, we found an anti-bound state just above the two spin-on continuum near kx go pi, and which also has a finite energy gap from the continuum. It's very small. And the physical picture of the unbound state is the same as bound state in J prime K is negative. And two spinons bind strongly together and move coherently as a pair. And what is different from the bound state is that there is a very small but finite weight of four spinons, six spinons, eight spinons, multi-spinon states above the two spinon continuum. So this delta function P cannot be delta function. It has a finite weight due to the finite weight of multi-spinon states. But we confirmed that including post-spinon part, the peak remains sharper than the background. So the unbound state might be observed in future experiments. And I'd like to make some comments on the bound state. And this bound state is also obtained by RPA as a pole of dynamical susceptibility. As you know, when there is a pole in the dynamical susceptibility, it corresponds to a collective mode. And in this case, the collective mode is a bound state of spinons. And from this relation, energy gap opens as proportion to J prime squared with logarithmic correction in the small J prime regime. The behavior is shown here. The blue line is the RPA result, and red circles are the present result. And it opens as proportion to J prime squared, and it goes linearly in the large J prime regime. This is because the bandwidth of the two spinon continuum is finite. And this is one interpretation of the bound state as a collective mode. And in order to get an intuitive physical picture of the bound state, we apply the same approximation to the XXZ model in the Ising limit. In this limit, the states can be expressed as a site basis. So we can specify the position of spinons explicitly as a domain wall between nail clusters. So we calculate the density-density correlation of spinons on a spatial analysis triangular lattice. And this is a result in the continuum. And in the continuum, the density-density correlation of spinons has no structure. It means that spinons are not correlated and almost it's dispersed in within the chain. And on the other hand, we also calculated the density-density correlation of spinons within the bound state, and it behaves like this. In the near the delta x equals 0, there is a sharp peak. It means that, the two spinons bind together and move coherently as a pair. And this is a simple physical picture of bound state of the spinons. And to show the relevance of our results present here, I'd like to compare our result with experimental data observed in cesium carbachloride. And this compound has layers. The layers are separated by cesium ions. And within the layer, copper spins interact antiferromagnetically with each other. And the copper spins have spin 1/2, and it forms a spatially anisotropic triangular lattice. As I mentioned before, the coupling constants are experimentally estimated as 0.374 electron volt, and the interchain couplings are estimated as 0.128 electron volt. So the interchain coupling constant is about 1/3 of the intrachain coupling. Although J prime is smaller than J, but this J prime is the same order as J, so we cannot neglect J prime. And also, interlayer coupling constant and the Jarosz-Simpson-Moria interaction coupling constants are estimated experimentally as about 0.05 J. And this is much smaller than J or J prime, so we neglect these terms for simplicity. And in the notation of the experimental paper, the momentum in the B direction, here we denote Kx prime is Kx in our notation. And the momentum in the C direction, we here denote it's Ky prime, which is given as Kx plus 2ky. And using these relations, J prime K is given as a product of cosines. And this J prime K is zero on the lines of Kx prime equals zero and Ky prime equals zero, and change signs across these lines. Okay. And as I mentioned in the interaction, there are several features observed, unusual features observed in cesium carbachloride. And one is the large state of Sk omega at Kx equal pi, which is similar to one-dimensional spinons. And another feature is a two-dimensional dispersion relation. And the dispersion relation is asymmetric with respect to Kx equals pi. And also, there is a strong momentum dependence of the line shape. I'm going to compare our result with these unusual features one by one from now on. Okay. Now, let us consider the behavior at Kx prime equals pi. At this momentum, this cosine is cosine half pi, so this is zero. So J prime K is zero regardless of value of Ky prime. So our approach predicts that at this momentum, the physical properties are exactly the same as the Heisenberg chain. So we compare the dynamical structure factor of the Heisenberg chain with the experimental data. The red circles are experimental data, and the blue line is the one-dimensional Sk omega. And it's been noted that there is only one fitting parameter for the overall scale of intensity. But this parameter is inevitable to compare neutron data, because what is obtained by neutron scattering experiment is the quantity which is proportional to Sk omega. So this fitting parameter is inevitable. So in this sense, this plot is parameter free. And one might think that why the exponent estimated from the power of it is different from eta equals 1. So we compare we compare Heisenberg chain SK omega with the power of it with eta equals 0.74. And this picture is taken from the experimental data, experimental paper, and the region where the experimental data is fitted in this form is in this region, in this energy range. And in this region, actually, the two curves, the red line and the green line, almost coincide with each other. And but it deviates in the low energy region. And it should be noted that this form is varied only in the scaling regime. And this has an additional fitting parameter eta. But the Heisenberg chain does not have such a parameter. And the line is has meaning in the full range of energies. And from this plot, we think that to explain the experimental data, the Heisenberg chain is more natural than the this power form.
At this momentum, the lower edge of the continuum in your model is at zero, right? Zero energy.
Yeah, zero.
Zero energy. There's no. I don't see the blue line coming down.
So ah, I see. I understand.
The lower edge of
okay.
The continuum is at zero energy.
Yeah, and it diverges at the zero energy limit.
Right.
Yeah.
And that exponent of
half,
it doesn't change when you're at zero energy as opposed to non-zero energy.
Yeah, this is asymptotic form. And,
it's even true when omega L is zero.
Zero, yeah, this is true, yeah. And yeah, I forget to mention about this difference. This compound has a long-range order and the gyrostatic Mollier interaction, so low energy behavior is different from the one-to-many chain. But
They have a gap.
So we are interested in the large tail, so that's why we say that. Okay. And then now let's turn to the dispersion relation. And this plot, the density plot, is our result. And blue diamonds are the main peak of dynamical structure factor obtained by experiment. And the open circles and open squares denote the upper edge and lower edges of continuum estimated experimentally. Okay. At ky, there's no fitting parameter in this plot. And at ky prime equals zero, this cosine is one. So the sine of j prime k is determined by cosine half kx prime. And so in this region, j prime k is positive. In this region, j prime k is negative, and this is positive. And as I mentioned, in the positive j prime k regime, spectral weight shifts upwards, and the main peak goes up. And the behavior of the main peak is consistent with experimental data. And this in this region also consistent. And when j prime k is negative, the bound state is formed below the continuum. Actually, the experimental data seems to be almost on the line of the bound state. At the ky prime equals 2 pi, this cosine is minus 1, so the sine has to put minus in front of the cosine kx. And the behavior is also consistent. In this region, is j prime k is positive, and the peak is goes up in the continuum. At ky prime equals 3 pi, this cosine is 0, so the j prime k is always zero regardless of value of kx prime. Actually, experimental data is also symmetric with respect to kx or pi. So the behavior of the main peak is all consistent with the experimental data. And furthermore, the lower edge of the continuum, pink squares, are observed only in the region of j prime k, here, and here, and here. And this is also consistent. And when j prime k is negative or j prime k is zero, our approximation says that the the main peak is located in the lowest energy levels of the spectrum. That's why the in this region, no low-energy continuum is observed. So the behavior of the low-energy continuum is also consistent with experimental data. And also, the behavior of the upper-energy continuum can be qualitatively understood from our analysis. And because this peak is a little shifted to the region of J prime K positive. And this is understood as follows. When J prime K is positive, spectral weight shifts upwards, so the high energy weight increase. On the other hand, when J prime K is negative, the part of higher energy weight shifts into the bound state. So the weight of the high energy part will decrease. And so this behavior is qualitatively explained by the present approximation. And the behavior is more clearly seen in the grayscale plot, and this is larger than this region, okay? And it is believed that, the approximation starting from one dimensional limit is not suitable for describing the properties in the perpendicular direction to the chain. But our approach can also explain the properties in that KY direction as well. The most significant behavior is observed KX prime equals half pi or minus half pi. And this is a plot along the KY direction and near the low energy continuum. And below 3 pi, which is the region of negative J prime K region, there is a bound state below the continuum, which is separated by a finite energy gap. And the bound state goes up, and it touches to the lower edge of the continuum at ky equals 3 pi. And the main peak goes into the continuum and is broadened in the positive J prime K regime. Okay? And this feature actually observed in the experiment. And this is the ky direction. And the main peak in the negative J prime K regime is almost on the line of the bound state. And it goes into the continuum at K y prime equals 3 pi and broaden, the peak is located within the continuum in the positive J prime K regime. And the lower edge of the continuum is observed only in the region of the J prime K positive. And the upper edge of continuum also intuitively understood from the picture I have explained, which is easily seen in the grayscale plot. It goes up like this, okay? And there's no fitting parameter in this plot as well. And the next question is whether this is really a bound state and this is really a broad peak. So we compare the cut at this momentum and this momentum and with the experimental data. And this is a plot. This plot is at ky prime equals 2 pi, which is in the j prime case negative. The green line is the present result, and the open squares are the experimental result. And there's no fitting parameter in this plot because we use the multiplication factor of the global height of intensity, which is obtained by the scan at kx equal pi. So there's no fitting parameter in this plot. And this delta function, the peak of the delta function peak is almost as consistent with the experimental data. And this plot is at ky prime equals 4 pi, which is in the positive j prime k regime. And the peak is located within the continuum. And peak height is here too. So this is 7. So this scales about around here. So in the positive J prime K regime, peak is very much suppressed. Okay? And this is the two spin state result. And as you know, the experimental data has a withers due to the energy resolution of spectrometer. Okay? So we take into account such a energy resolution of the spectrometer, which is given as a 0.019 electron volt. And this is a plot, and the results get closer to the experimental data. And there is a finite width, and the peak is more suppressed and get closer to the peak obtained in the experimental data. But there is still a difference in the tail or the peak position. So we include the four spin-on part as well. Then this is a plot. And the result almost perfectly coincide with the experimental data. And the peak position is almost consistent with experimental data. So what is observed in this plot is, in our language, this is a bound state of spin-ons. And this is a broad peak of the continuum.
When you include the four spin-on, does the intrinsic width of that peak remain zero, or does it get broadened, or does it?
In the four spin-on calculation, we have used the finite size calculation. So, but the finite size effect is smaller than this energy resolution.
Bound state is below the four spin-on continuum as well as below the two spin-on continuum, and so it remains a sharp line.
Four-spin part. I don't understand.
When you add the four-spin contributions over here,
it peak position shift
affects the continuum.
Yeah.
Whereas the bound state itself remains sharp.
Remains sharp. Yeah.
It shifts its energy.
That's right.
Delta function. Presumably in the real 2D model, it's not a delta function. It has some intrinsic width, which is non-zero. I know, but is there any way to estimate? So do you think that do you think that in the 2D model, in the infinite system, if I had perfect experimental resolution, there would be a delta function peak? I assume not. I assume that you would think that at finite energy, there's no reason for that to be perfectly sharp. And is there a way to estimate the intrinsic width?
As far as in the weak coupling approach, the peak is delta function because there's no weight below the two spin-on continuum, even including four spin-on or multi spin-on states. But if the ground state changes, if the theory breaks down, then I'm not sure.
But the physics of the bound state is that this state splits off the continuum, whatever continuum is.
So
there are no states to decay into.
Yes, if the continuum's curved this way, it should be stable, even
it's stable, right. So it remains a delta function.
I think that perturbatively around 1T, it'll always remain a delta function. But in the 2D system with a conventional ordered ground state.
Oh, no. With ordered ground state, yes.
That's right. So what I mean is just, evidently, whatever the intrinsic width is, it's very small. I was just curious if you could estimate what that intrinsic width would be in the actual material. I'll put it this way. In the 2D model with an ordered ground state at finite energy, I don't see why there's a sharp excitation.
There are spin waves and there are multi-spin wave, multi-Magnon continuum, right? But, if the spin wave is well-defined,
I don't see why even a single spin-on is a sharp excitation in 2D. It seems like there's some intrinsic width to that as well. In 1D, yes, there's a sharp state, and if you couple, it'll stay sharp, but I don't see why in 2D you would expect a sharp state.
We naively expect that this bound state will be continuously connected to Magnon peak, which is sharp delta function peak, right?
So do you think this model has spin liquid ground states, or you don't know?
As a ground state?
Spin liquid ground state.
In
2D, when you turn on the coupling, whether or not it remains spin liquid?
In the perturbation theory, the fourth order term of J prime will induce a long range order. Implementation of J prime causes long range, but within this approximation, the ground state is always spin single state of the decoupled chains. Beyond this approximation.
You think it will order?
The ground state will be ordered.
So
but it's very small energy regime.
The coupling is
Yeah, epifitting couplings of all the J prime to the force.
Yeah, make zero. Yeah.
It borders from the order of J prime to the power of 4.
Yeah, it's very small.
Can you make that term zero?
No, but I mean, it's already a huge reduction.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering, can you make the J prime to the fourth term zero?
It's always
there.
Okay.
Because the frustration,
it's not perfect.
Yeah.
You can't make it perfect yourself.
You can lose one during the magnetic order, but then you can generalize.
Right, okay.
And in summary, we have obtained three distinctive features of dynamical structure factor depending on the momentum, and which classified by the sign of J prime K. At J prime K is zero, our theory predicts that the physical property is exactly the same as the Heisenberg chain within the present approximation. And when J prime K is negative, bound state of spinons appears below the continuum. And within the bound state, spinons form a pair and move coherently like a magnon. But this state does not require ordered ground state, and we expect this bound state will be continuously connected to magnon as the ground state changes into ordered state. And when J prime K is positive, the spectral wave shifts upwards and the peak is broadened in the continuum. And we also observe the anti-bound state as a sharp peak but with finite widths above the two-spinon continuum. And in the present approach, the power of behaviors appear only on the line of Kx prime equals zero with the same exponent as the Heisenberg chain. And in the region of negative or positive J prime K, there's no divergence in the continuum. And as for the experiment, comparison with the experimental data, unusual features observed in cesium kappa chloride have been consistently explained by the present approximation, basically without using fitting parameter. And the asymmetry of the dispersion relation is explained by the formation bound state for negative J prime K and the broad peak in the continuum for the positive J prime K. And the strong momentum dependence of the line shape is also explained. And actually, the bound state of spinons are observed as a sharp peak in the negative J prime K region. And for the large table at Kx go pi, which is explained by the one-dimensional Heisenberg chain. And so from our analysis, the experimental data should be interpreted as descendant of one-dimensional spinons, which strongly persist on the node of J prime K. Thank you for your attention.